It's a fine Tuesday afternoon, pre-hurricane. Of course, Hurricane Milton's going to be making his way through Florida in just a few short days. Everybody get safe. Get whatever you need to prepare or get out if you were nervous in the line of sight of that monstrous hurricane. Don't be stupid about it. Be safe. Keep an eye on it. But it's Russo and Rizzo live here, ESPN 106.3. Mike and I, our first real experience of a Florida hurricane. And this guy is no doozy. This is going to come to us pretty quick. But that's on the negative side of things. But it's on the bright side of things.
Vroom, vroom. Race fans, get those engines revving for the ultimate NASCAR weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, the Craftsman Truck Series Playoffs, and NASCAR Xfinity Series Playoffs doubleheader are races you're not going to want to miss. We're going to have tickets for you on Theoretically Speaking coming up. We gave away our tickets on this show already. But be listening to our guy Theo Dorsey from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. for your chance to win some tickets. All you have to do is listen to Theoretically Speaking 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. and follow on social media. We're giving away tickets for one of the best NASCAR races in South Florida. Once again, folks, NASCAR weekend at Homestead Miami Speedway, the Craftsman Truck Series Playoffs, and NASCAR Xfinity Series Playoffs. We're going to do trivia with Theo. You heard it here on this show already, but trivia with Theo. Is it the movie Cars, or is it NASCAR? We had a lot of fun with it on our show. Be listening to Theoretically Speaking 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday for your chance to win tickets.
C-Cat, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
You got a nice, bright pink, as Hawaiian of a Hawaiian shirt as it could possibly get today. That's what you got for us today.
What can I say? Yeah, you've got a quick change of tone in your attitude towards this hurricane. A couple of days ago, talking to Russo, he's like, hurricanes, a little overrated. I don't know.
But then I realized that the power of the radio and that as somebody who is being broadcast and I don't want to be
sued?
Sued for what? I'm not telling anybody to do anything. But I also think I have some sort of due diligence to not downplay a major, major storm. I'm going to hold my thoughts on what I think realistically about the hurricane, but it is my job to make sure that people are going to be safe about this and not to be stupid.
I convinced my brother in St. Pete to come stay with me, so Joe is going to be arriving at my apartment here momentarily.
I think what you're doing is great, Russo. I'm not making fun of current you. I'm making fun of past you, if it makes sense.
I'm making fun of you from four days ago. You thought I was being stupid because I thought the hurricane was a little phony?
Yeah, I thought you were being stupid. If hurricane number one, with no experience with hurricanes, made your
hurricane
prejudgments.
Hurricane Sandy, category one.
Yeah, I was there too. A tree fell down. We're all right.
Jersey Shore got destroyed, notably.
Is that the level of impact it's going to have in West Palm? Trees falling and
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
probably
not too
a lot
sure
of flooding
either.
Up. Make sure to check where you live if you're in a flood zone. That's what's
like,
important
guys,
in this area.
That and it's really bad, like where my elder brother is, St. Pete and the Gulf and Tampa. Like that's going to get. I don't want to say leveled. I think that would be wrong for me to say that.
No,
but
they're going to get destroyed.
There's a reason why people
get out of the city. Get
right,
out of the city.
Right.
They're evacuating to Miami. Like, that's like a spot where you should go. And don't go north to Jacksonville. It's still in the path. It's crazy.
Yeah, nuts.
What's your take on this? How do you prepare? What is going to be the next 3 days? So, hold on.
Well,
we
got
talked
dogs.
About it yesterday.
Yeah.
You got dogs. It sounds like the dogs didn't work out as one would expect when you mix together a bunch of, two mutts with two household dogs.
Yeah, listen, the thing is, it's two mutts are my dogs, and the dog that we fostered short-term from the animal shelter here in Palm Beach.
You just got it yesterday. It's already short-term. It's done?
No. You take the foster animal because of the hurricane coming, and then they get returned or they find a home pretty soon. The thing is, my dogs are bullies, and they were bullying the new kid on the block, even though the new kid on the block was twice their size. So Charlie and Hunter, my dogs, who I've had for 4 and 6 years, respectively, they're not very nice to him. So I had to stand watch and stand guard, and I slept on the couch last night next to our foster dog, Hodor, while my girlfriend and our two dogs were upstairs in bed.
And this dog, Hodor, is a nice dog?
Oh, he's wonderful. Hodor.
He's cute.
You're traumatizing this poor animal. With your two untrained, absolute barbaric.
Listen,
pets that you have lying around your house, do you even bother to train these two?
When we're talking, no. When we're talking levels of trauma, I think Hodor would rather deal with my two maniac dogs than the trauma of 8 inches of rain in his kennel.
Did Hodor tell you this? I think Hodor could swim. Can he deal with two rabid animals coming after him?
He's doing okay so far.
So you get him out of there or what?
No, he's at home. My girlfriend's taking care of them.
So you're just going to keep him separated?
What? No, they just, they're territorial over their beds. That's the problem. My two dogs love their beds. So when Hodor was like, hey, where do I fit in this equation? They were saying, hey, take a walk, pal. So then me and Hodor took a walk downstairs.
What kind of dogs are your dogs?
My dogs are both mutts. One of them's called a Carolina dog. Kind of looks like a mix between a German Shepherd and a Golden Retriever.
Okay.
He was the runt of the litter, so he's got kind of funny looking. And the other one's like a Belgian Malinois is the word for it. Kind of looks like a German Shepherd with less hair.
Okay.
So you have two canine unit dogs going after this tiny little Hodor.
He's cute.
Hey,
he's Hodor. Hang on, dude. Hodor's cute. I saw your Instagram.
Yes. Hodor is adorable. He's 102 pounds.
So this foster animal shelter goes, hey, we need some, you know, mock parents just for a couple of days. Get us through the storm. We don't want these guys hanging around in the shelter during a big storm like this because it could be dangerous. Of course, you know, the good Samaritans of this great community
like me,
will call in and say, I could take them. We have a stable household. This is going to be a safe environment.
You're saying he lied on
but
the form?
What Christian Cat failed to realize and failed to inform the pet shelter, I hope they're listening, is that I have two rabid, barbaric, violent, and downright dangerous animals in my house that are dangerous, territorial. They are going to come after this animal, and I know this, and I know this, and I played dumb yesterday, but I know this. And I'm going to bring in this tiny little innocent animal who's just looking for a home and to show him what a poor home really looks like. And that's essentially what I'm getting at here.
Was there teeth being shown yesterday? Like, what are we?
Fair share snarls, amount of teeth were shown.
Snarls, Colin. Like,
nobody got hurt. No, we're getting better every single day.
And he slashes.
Little paw slash. They were playing. Got a little rough on housing.
Playing.
Is that what Michael Vick said?
There was no Vick activities in the cat household. These are two dogs that love one another in due time. Tomorrow, I bet they're going to sleep in the same bed. They're going to curl up in the bed and sleep together. Listen, these new relationships, it's like a human foster home, if you would.
Now he's trying to damage control.
Yeah. Think about human fosters, children who lose their parents.
You went Vic, huh, bud?
Listen, there's a little bit of rising going on.
You went Michael Vick, dude.
You know, sometimes some lunch is stolen.
We're all thinking it. Had to be brought up.
Oh,
you're welcome. All right, animal shelter.
Questionable animal shelter at that. Not passing the health inspections. Let's get to some 5 and 5.
Number 1.
You guys will not paint me as a bad guy when I'm clearly the hero in the situation.
You did go sleep with the dog on the couch. Yeah.
I did.
He's a good guy.
We're going to give him a bath today.
Awesome.
He deserves it. Hodor, if you're looking for a dog who is mild-mannered.
You're trying to get rid of him.
Yes, I want to get him a forever home.
Oh, that's fair.
Isn't that I was about to say, that's like the whole thing.
That's the whole idea. Hodor, he's adorable. He's nice. He gives kisses. He's perfect.
Now, Sea Cat, they did this once before, not to keep on it, but they did this once before, and they had a tough time saying goodbye, right?
Did it in Oklahoma. We cried. Tough scene, but she found a forever home.
Good.
Number one. With the news of Robert Saleh, not Salah, Rizzo. Robert
Saleh. It's not
Salah? It's never been Salah.
Wait, it's not Bob?
It's Bob. It can be Bob.
Colin, it's not Bob?
You can go Bob.
Bob Salah?
Bob Saleh.
Salah's been relinquished of his head coaching duties for the Jets. Will there be another midseason head coach firing in 2024?
There's an elephant in the room with Doug Peterson. I hope he is. I hope this is the first domino to fall. I'm not sure that there will be. And it pains me to say that, but the next one in line has got to be Peterson, right?
I agree, and I do think there is, and I do think it's Doug Peterson, sadly.
I hope you're right.
Colin, the only reason I think so, I think you're going to get to the halfway point, and the Jags are going to be flirting with the Browns and the Patriots and company, and maybe the Titans for having one of the worst records in the league. There were expectations there. What did you tell me your owner said before the year?
This is the best team Jacksonville's ever put together. Now, they go to London twice, and you got to understand the pattern there. They're good in London.
They are.
And they're there for two straight weeks against the Bears and the Patriots.
Well, they won't beat the Bears.
But in London, it's a crapshoot. We know this. So I don't know if they all of a sudden they go 2-0. I'm not saying let's keep Peterson around. I still want him gone. But I'm not saying look out, but I know the pattern with London.
But like anyone else, like I don't think Stefanski gets let go by the Browns. I don't think.
No. Callahan will not get
right.
let go.
Mayo, first-year head coach.
Definitely not. So nobody in the AFC North, nobody in the it's really just Peterson that's
Dable saved face. He's won a couple games in a
row. Dable's going to be just fine. I think they play hard for him. I think that's an underrated team.
Two out of three for the Giants.
I give them and they played very, very well against Seattle. They should have won that game by more, and they didn't. But number two.
Number two.
Russell Wilson. Remember that name? Hey, set the practice for the Steelers after being inactive the first five games of the season. Is this Justin Fields' job, like just point blank, where Russell Wilson is now the backup?
I mean, you asked us 2 weeks ago, we'd probably both say yes. But I mean, at a certain point, I don't know how willing Tomlin is. I mean, we've seen it. But I don't know how willing he is to really go flip-flop. If you're going to make a decision, stick with it.
But like has Fields done anything where you're like, oh my God, yes, he's the starter? Like, I don't think that's the case. I don't think Fields has won the job.
Yeah, the problem is
they've lost two games in a row too, Colin, in a division that's winnable now.
And there's still they're still over 500. So all of a sudden, Tomlin has a position here where he could look bad. If he brings him in, there's no going back. You gotta stick with Wilson at this point. If you sub him in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you start losing games and the team takes a dramatic fall off, that's going to reflect poorly on him. And, although if you stick with Fields, you could bench him at a certain point. It's a tricky spot.
It is. But if there's one person I trust to manage a tricky spot, it's Mike Tomlin. I know angry Steeler fans, he won with Cowher's team. Oh, we're mediocre. Oh, woe is me. We're the Steelers. We're not competing for championships like we should be. He's a damn good head coach. He could handle this tricky situation. I personally think Fields is probably the quarterback. Wilson will be number two.
Number three.
Number three.
The Kansas City Chiefs, they moved to 5-0 after winning last night against the Saints. Are this year's Chiefs better than last year's Super Bowl winning Chiefs?
The reason I put this on there, Colin, what's the difference? The difference is Kelce is not playing Kelce level, and they're still 5-0.
And he didn't do it. He wasn't great during the regular season last year. He's better than what he is now, but then he turned it up in the postseason.
But like, the reason I put this on here is because with all of the talks in the offseason of Chiefs and the team going, we didn't like how we won. I do think last year's team is. I know they lost week one too, Colin. But I do think last year's team is probably better than this year's team. But somehow the Chiefs are still 5-0. That's culture. That's coaching. That's quarterback play. That's defense. That's a well-run organization.
Yeah, maybe a little less talent, but way more in experience now, too. So the more they win, the more comfortable and capable they are going to continue to win.
I still stand by what I said earlier in the show. If I'm logging on to Hard Rock Bet, there is one team I'm betting on to win the Super Bowl, and it is the Kansas City Chiefs. Not even field another team.
Russo, you dismiss the Ravens as legitimate contenders to the Chiefs because they lost a Thursday night football game in week one.
Colin, I think it's more or less the playoffs, right? And the lack of success.
So it's a team that hasn't done anything in the playoffs, hasn't been able to beat the Chiefs in a tough spot, and lost to them 4 weeks ago, that all of a sudden that's their rival?
I think that they are a legitimate contender to the Chiefs. Yeah, I don't think you can chalk in the Chiefs for a Super Bowl appearance.
I do think they're solid.
Christian, remember what I said earlier. We know the Ravens are probably going to win that division. We know the Ravens are probably only going to lose five or six games, have a double-digit win season, and have Lamar Jackson play at an elite level. All right, but I just have such a sour taste, Colin, after the Chiefs didn't score a point in the second half. The Chiefs didn't score a point in the second half, and they still won the AFC Championship. That's more or less why when I pull up my Hard Rock Bet app, that's still the only reason why I will only take the Chiefs on a future right now.
Hey, I saw Lamar Jackson stiff arm a man into the earth on Sunday.
It's amazing.
To beat the Bengals, come from behind.
We're not
win.
Arguing.
What's
that.
Been the criticism for Lamar Jackson?
You know I'm a Lamar guy.
The fumble, the first drive of overtime that completely got, because they missed the field goal there, and the Bengals had that two terrible runs and terrible drive, missed the field goal, and then Derrick Henry goes 50 yards there.
See, Ked, I've defended Lamar on this show, okay? I want that to be clear for the record. But when it comes to the playoffs and the Chiefs, partner, there's no discussion right now. The sad part is, until it actually happens, there's no discussion.
Number four.
Aaron Judge is 30. 3.9 strikeout rate is the second worst in postseason history. Minimum 200 plate appearances. Can the Yankees still win the World Series, even with Judge's struggles in the postseason?
Now, Colin, the reason I put this on here, number one, we talked about this yesterday, and I was with you, C-Cat. I thought Judge was going to have a big game last night. He didn't play horrible. He had a hit in the game, but the strikeouts is what sticks out to me. Put the ball in play, son. Put the ball in play. Get it in the air. Put it on the ground. Like, you can't have empty at-bats in the playoffs. And I know it's cliche, but if you have your stars disappear in the playoffs, you're not going to be around long. I thought last night was a disgrace. I thought Chaz Chisholm, we'll get to his comments later on in the show.
Disgrace.
I thought it was a Bush drama Bush league. You got to go up. C-Cat, you got to go up 2-0 at home versus the Royals.
Yeah.
Now, you can sit here and my guards, I have the same take on my guards. Disgrace that you lost to the Tigers at home. But this is the Yankees, all right? Everyone's expecting you to beat the AL Central and go to the World Series. You cannot have Aaron Judge with those numbers and be successful in the playoffs. I'm sorry.
The stars,
disgraceful,
have pretty much played great for these postseason teams so far. Harper, an excellent postseason player. Tatis has been outstanding this postseason. Otani had a great first game, iffy second game. Zach Wheeler, terrific playoff performer. Tarek Skubal has been terrific in the playoffs. All of these guys are playing well. Mookie Betts is a great postseason performer. Hasn't been great this year, but is a great postseason performer nonetheless. This is a recurring theme now with Judge. He's going to have to figure this out because the Yankees do not have enough firepower to hang around with a pesky team like the Royals. The Yankees need to out-hit you, and they need to beat you big. They're not going to beat you by edging in a couple runs. I know they did in game one, but that was because of the bad call.
I was about to say.
Kansas City knows how to win pesky. That's how they want to play. You're playing to their game. You got to play to yours.
And I'll defend the Yankees a little bit. I know I was very tough on that call on Chisholm, but there's no say that the Royals are even going to come back and win that game. You know what I mean? Like, who's to say, even if that call isn't made, that the Royals are going to be able to put up a run?
But
to Colin's point, C-Cat, we're a bad call away from this thing maybe being 0-2.
You think Jazz Chisholm last night, after the game,
he said
they're still going to win the series, and then he said
it was a
they got lucky.
It was a disgrace.
Surely that won't slap them in the face.
That was more or less, Christian, C-Cat. I don't know why I keep calling you Christian right now. More or less, C-Cat, when I said disgraceful, I more so said about the comments, but once I thought about it again, I really do think it's kind of disgraceful that they're not up 2-0 in this series, too.
They didn't play well last night. The bats were half asleep. And Rodon was fired up after three innings, you know, screaming at everybody. And then he starts getting banged around and doesn't last five innings.
His wife's active on Twitter, getting
stupid.
Hyped up.
Stupid.
Do Yankee fans like him?
No.
Had a good season this year. No. Was bad last year.
No, and I don't think they do.
I'm with Colin on that. I don't think they do.
The Yankee fans do not like the people that are outward, you know, personality, screaming at everybody. Except for Nick Swisher.
Bro-hio, Nick Swisher. Uh-huh. One of the worst trades in Guardians history.
But Jazz Chisholm doing this, you know, saying this garbage. This is not, people like to hate on the traditional aspect of the Yankee way. It's not the Yankee way. That's what the fans are accustomed to. Aaron Judge carries himself really, really well.
Still feels the same that we're going to win it. I don't feel like anybody feels any different. We're going to go out there and do our thing. We still feel like any other team, no other team is better than us. We had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
I'm sure. Do you have the audio that we don't have to play? We'll play that next.
Oh, you don't want to hear me butcher
it? Number five.
Number five.
All Major League Baseball division series are tied up one game apiece for the first time in division series era. Is this the best case scenario for baseball?
I think
number one, without a doubt. Go ahead, Mike.
94, for extra context too, 95 and 84, Colin, were the two other instances where it was 1-1. We just didn't call it the division era, whatever. But I think it is best case scenario. I think it's great. I think they would argue that, I think baseball behind closed doors, Colin, would argue they need LA and they need New York to win. But it adds to the drama that is the playoffs. These playoffs have been amazing. I know I was on the losing end yesterday.
Terrific.
My team was on the losing end yesterday, and I was sick to my stomach that, you know, Class A got touched up on that home run. But what a game that was. And what a game the nightcap was with the Yankees and the Yankees losing. Yes, this is great for baseball, and I think a lot of people are watching right now.
Yeah, it's good. They did well over the weekend. Mets-Phillies game one on Saturday against college football did 4.5 million, and that would have been the second highest rated college football game on Saturday.
That was the type of game, the ebbs and flows, the lead changes, that made you tune in after it already began. You know, you didn't plan your day thinking you were going to watch Mets-Phillies, but when you saw the action online, you turned the game on the second string.
I mean, yeah, and they had Kodai Senga. There was a story there. Was Zach Wheeler start? There was a lot of fun there.
And C-Cat, taking it a step further, maybe you started it on the second screen, and then it became the main screen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's kind of how it happened for me. I know I was running around with family this weekend, but definitely turned that one on the main screen at one point.
Yeah, I give, for example, Tennessee, Arkansas did 5.3 million. Iowa, Ohio State did 4.5. But Mets, Phillies game one did 4.8. You know, Mets, Phillies game two against the NFL, which is a little more strong, did 3.4. And the Padres-Dodgers game two, which had that stoppage and was on a Sunday as well, did 3.4 million. It's pretty good. And it's nothing compared to football, of course. You can't compare it to that. But for the baseball standards, it's better than what the NBA does. We want to get into what Jazz Chisholm had to say post-game next on Russo and Rizzo Live here, ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. The Phillies and the Mets have finally underway here. The Mets early lead 1-0 after Pete Alonso solo shot over Aaron Nola. They got two men on base awaiting a replay of a Nick Castellanos robbery near the wall at the back track at the warning track. But 1-0 Mets, bottom second at the moment. 888-760-3776. We go to the phone lines really quick. We go to New Jersey. Cologne from New Jersey, you're joining us now on Russo and Rizzo. What's on your mind?
Hey guys. Listen, first of all, I was at the game yesterday, the Yankee game, you know, and the stadium was electric. And after the first three innings, I threw out Don Haddock. He had seven strikeouts. And I totally lost in the fourth inning, you know. And you're right. Aaron Judge has to hit. He struck out swinging with two men out in the bottom of the first. And after that, I kept on making outs. I don't think I won't hit at all. This guy has not hit in the postseason in his career. And, you know, and Chisholm, I don't like his comments. I didn't like after he hit the home run, he hot dogged around the bases. When you're down 4-2, you know, that's not the Yankee way either. You know, so there's a lot of pressure on these Yankees because, if we get to a game five, if Rodon pitches again, you know, so right now my confidence level is real low on this team because Judge not hitting and the whole team actually not hitting.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Cologne. Thanks for joining in. You're right. Yeah, you got to be nervous. Can you put Rodon in a big spot and get you 6-7 innings? There's no confidence level into that idea at all. So it was an ugly one, and you can't place it all on Judge. The rest of the bats were definitely asleep as well, but he is he's the horsepower of that offense. You got to make sure you get something out of him. You can't just rely on, you know, a couple Gleyber Torres getting a solo shot in the first. You can't rely on that. They've been relying on Judge all year, and he can't shrivel up when the lights are brightest. So there's a problem there, but I think the story coming out of yesterday, too, is not only that loss and the Royals tying it up, but how Jazz Chisholm, the midseason acquisition from the Miami Marlins, the infielder for the Yankees, had handled postgame. He spoke to a couple of things, but more importantly, into how luck favored into the side of the Royals. Take a listen to Jazz Chisholm postgame last night.
How different does the series feel now after game two compared to after game one?
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know. I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know. We're going to go out there and do our thing still. we still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
That was Jazz Chisholm post-game, and a lot of that I didn't necessarily have a problem with. It's just the ending that really doesn't sit well with me. You're allowed to think that nobody can beat us. You're allowed to say that. But saying it immediately after a loss, number one, I think is a little dicey, and I understand you want to maintain confidence. But saying the other team got lucky when they outplayed you, the offense has been playing better than your offense, and all of a sudden now they're lucky, it's a bad look.
It's a bad look, and it's a distraction, and it's bulletin board material for the Royals.
Yeah, surely this won't blow up in their face.
Right,
and this is
right.
What people are going to be circling
if I'm the manager for the Royals, I'm putting what he said on the chalkboard today, and I'm going, listen, we have them right where we want them. We did our job. We won a game on the road. I think that's what all of these road teams are saying, Colin. They did their job. We won on the road, and let's go close this thing out at home. I wouldn't be shocked if a lot of these series ended after the home games.
Yeah.
No, I would not be shocked if a lot of these series ended after this homestand for the lower seeds.
Mm, yeah. I this is a problem for the Yankees now. They have added a whole lot more to the bulletin board smelling blood material for the Kansas City Royals. Next week, you want to taste some food?
Yes.
You want to taste out some perfectly made, whether a variety of different foods in the area from all the chefs? Mike can tell you all about it for the Boca Bowl tailgate.
Folks, the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC's Supply Great Chefs tailgate showcase, presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group, heats up on Tuesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Join ESPN West Palm's Theo Dorsey at Brick in Boca Raton as dozens of local chefs, breweries, and cocktail masters serve their favorite tailgate classics. Tickets are on sale now. Includes all food samplings, entertainment, beer, wine, cocktails, and soft drinks. Visit spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events. That's spiritofgivingnetwork.org/events to purchase your tickets today. Once again, folks, it's the annual Boca Raton Bowl's ABC Supply Chef's Tailgate Showcase presented by Boca Raton Innovation Campus and CP Group. We'll see you there on the 15th.
Now, our great producer, C-Cat, who's a Yankee fan, I wanted to get your take on this. You alluded to it a little bit earlier. But now you're a Yankee fan, and we already know how much of a target on the back they already have. But now, there's one thing to have a target on your back just because you're a big brand and you're the big bad Yankees. But now it's another thing when you say something personal to the Royal team that you're currently playing. So there's a level of, all right, well, play into the villain role, but there's also a level of creating something out of nothing. And that is what the Yankees have done here. And I want to get your takeaway on that.
Yeah, I feel like that's the stuff you say in the locker room because baseball, let's be honest with one another, baseball is a sport and a game that does involve a lot of luck. You get sawed off, pitcher makes the perfect pitch, batter swings out of his shoes, the ball finds its way blooped in behind second base for a base hit. Did the batter earn that one, or did they get lucky? Answer, they got lucky. So you know what? Behind closed doors, I think he's right. He can be right. But you can't say it in front of a microphone immediately after a loss because it can be thrown right back in your face. And the Yankees have had issues with this, with the smallest of things, that because they are the Yankees, they'll make the smallest of comments and the opponents will take that, anything they can, make it more than what it was and make it bulletin board material. When you make it easy for them, you're just being silly.
2 months ago, this guy was a Marlin too. I think there's...
Talking from his white horse. Like,
exactly.
You got some nerve.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, dude, like, you just joined the team, and now you're throwing the whole... Essentially, what I think this did is he threw the whole team under the bus, and if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm having a conversation with Chaz Chisholm. Like, hey, bud, we need you this playoff run, but I can't have you saying stuff like that. That's a distraction. That's bulletin board material. That's just stuff we don't need to give the other team. That's the conversation I'm having with Chaz Chisholm.
What's your confidence level lie, C-Cat?
If I were to give you a percent chance the Yankees win the series in any amount of games.
This is not even just objectively thinking. This is from your perspective, gut.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of emotional oomph in my Yankees fandom year over year. Just ever since the peak of it with a 2017 team that loss to the Astros when they were admitted to be cheating, or they never admitted it, but they were found out they were cheating. Every year, year over year, my heart gets taken out of it. So I can speak objectively here. I think it's a coin flip. I think it's quite literally a coin flip on who wins this series. That's what I'm looking at right now between the Yankees and Royals. And you think about how this very voice was on these very airwaves yesterday, as confident as can be. You got to win both games at home.
That's how much one series can change off of one game.
You got dude, the road wins are so important. That's why these series being tied 1-1, that's why it's must-see TV, I think, on all four series that are going on right now. Because the road team has a chance to take advantage, especially in a five-game series.
It's ridiculous.
I hate the five-game series,
it's
by the way.
It's a 162-game series. You get in a series, like one of the, let's do some math here, a lot, like 70 different series in baseball. That's wrong math there. About 50 different series, you know, three-game series in a Major League Baseball season, and you're boiling it down to one of them. That's ridiculous.
Colin, I hate the
five. The sample size is stupid.
Hate the five games.
You want to do seven?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the playoffs.
We want the better teams.
Listen, the wild card's fine. The wild card's fine the way it is.
There's no guarantee.
You're lucky to be in. In my opinion,
there's teams that win in seven that shouldn't win in seven, too.
Okay, but
at least it's a good sample size.
They've got to prove it for longer.
But, Colin, my argument here is it's seven games. The better team, I think, is going to win. The better team during that span is going to win in seven games.
So you want to eliminate the idea that baseball has a lot of parity and anything can happen. You want to eliminate that.
Yeah, I prefer the best baseball team to be crowned the best baseball team at the end of the season.
Do you prefer the playoffs in the NBA comparatively to the MLB?
I feel like the NBA, there's a bigger difference between the good teams,
the best team always wins,
and the bad teams.
But it's a lopsided league. That's the difference.
The best team always wins. That's what you guys want.
No, it's not what I want.
Then what do you want?
I want seven games.
Because?
Because I think if a road team wins against the home team in the first two games, it's a significant advantage heading home.
Yes.
You have a chance to win two games in a row on your home field and close the series out.
That's not a reason. What's the reason?
The reason is that I think it's an unfair advantage for the team that's not better than you according to your record on the standings.
That didn't earn it. They have an advantage.
Yes.
They have an advantage if they beat you in your ballpark? Yeah.
But like the fact that the series could end right then and there and you don't have to go back to said stadium, who has the home field advantage, I think is a bit ridiculous.
Well, you don't use your home field advantage, you lose it.
And I rebuttal with this. The NBA, remember what they used to do at the finals?
Yeah, 2-3-2.
They got rid of that, and that's why.
I think the NBA postseason is by far the worst in all major sports.
It's the worst in all major sports because they have an
idea. You want these guys to get more of an advantage when they blow home field. Sorry, this is the game.
The NBA is the worst playoffs for a lot of different reasons, and it's not because of the seven games. And I'm not going to get into why I think the NBA is bad.
I think the NBA would greatly benefit off of a five-game series in that first round. Greatly benefit. Totally. But that's besides the point. You guys want the best team to win. Why? This is part of the fun.
I don't think that's what I'm... I think you're missing the point of what I'm trying to say.
You're speaking as an A's fan.
You're missing my point. You're not understanding my point.
Your point is you... All right.
Like, Detroit could very well...
The Guardians blew the game at home. Blew. With a capital B.
Thanks.
But because they had a better record in the regular season, they should be rewarded with more home games, and they're not, despite the fact that they blew the game and changed the tie in the series.
I just wanted to
They get the tie in the series because they have game five.
I want first of four. This is the divisional round. There's only four series going on right now. It should be seven games.
What is the...
There's four series going on.
Then the playoffs are going to go another week longer, and they're going to be further and further in November, and especially with a lot of East Coast teams, you're going to see weather coming up. That's another thing to consider.
Less off days. That's fine. These are baseball players. They're not football players. They can play back-to-back-to-back-to-back.
I hate the off days. Every single day in the season. I could argue that if the Guardians played on Sunday, they win that game. They had all the momentum, and then you got to stop. They finally stopped Detroit. Don't blow the game, Mike.
Don't blow the game. You're pissing me off here. Don't blow the game. Don't get the best reliever in baseball. Don't give up a three-run shot. What you're saying is nonsense. It is nothing. They do not deserve to get another place of home field because of needing seven games. They blew the game, the regular season. They're in the playoffs. They're here now. This doesn't make any sense. It's a five-game series. Deal with it. Steal one in Detroit. And then, because you have a better record in the regular season, you get the game five at home. There's your advantage. You want your advantage? Earn yourself it by winning one in Detroit.
I don't like the idea of this season ending in Detroit. I do not like that. You should be able to come home. Five games. This is the divisional round. This isn't the Mickey Mouse wild card round. We could go seven games.
Win the game. You know what you want to lose? Guess what? You can lose in their ballpark. What's the game? In any league that has a multi-game series, you steal one on the road and the tide switches in your favor. Same thing goes with baseball. I don't think this is a seven-game series problem. I think this is a problem of these teams that have a lot of time off, a week off, and they blow a game at home. You've seen that now in four different series. Go bet the games tonight on Hard Rock Bet. Go bet the football games this weekend on Hard Rock Bet. It's the first time ever in Florida where you could legally bet on football on Hard Rock Bet. Last year, you couldn't bet legally in Florida until week 14. Now we're entering week 6, week 5 in college football in the NFL. You could finally get involved and bet on Hard Rock Bet. It's the only sports book in Florida. Bet on touchdown scores, passing yards, other stats, total points, who will win, and more. Don't want to bet a ton of money? Try a parlay. Put everything together. Pair it. Florida better in week 1. Put 16 slide parlay together. Bet $15. Got $104,000. In winnings off of that parlay alone. It's got the sophistication that the experienced player loves, but the simplicity to that point that the new player needs. It's got both sides. The Discover page is so useful. See the trendy picks. See what the popular promos are. Hard Rock Bet has you covered. Go try it. All you got to do is get started and download Hard Rock Bet on the App Store or Google Play Store or go online to hardrock.bet. Try Hard Rock Bet now and get up to $100 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. Your first bet can be a parlay, prop, over, whatever you like to bet, any game you choose. You either win your first bet or get back the same amount you bet as a bonus bet. Try Hard Rock Bet today. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888. Admit it. Well, with the aforementioned 1-1 series, they're now sitting at 1-1. Which one is shaping up for the tightest finish? We'll get into that next. We close out the program. It's Russo and Rizzo live here at ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Rolling on here, closing out the program. Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3 at the City Place Studios. The MLB Divisional Series all tied at 1-1. Mike and C-Cat, surprise, surprise, as teams who blew game 2 of their respective series at home now want a pity game back at home because they're upset that the other team that stole a game on the road now has the chance, like any postseason in the history of sports works, to close the series in their home ballpark because you stole one on the road. But you guys want it to be seven games because of, to Christian Cat's point, you want it to be for parity's purposes and you want the best team to win. But to Mike's point, from my read, you want to be rewarded further because you had such a strong regular season.
Yeah, and just because the amount of games you play. You played 100. I hate how long the baseball season is. I understand that the true loyalists of this beautiful game always want their 162 for the record books and the statistics and whatever. But I just feel like the guards won the division. And ending the season, and all right, Colin, maybe you struck a nerve a little bit. Maybe I am scared. Partner, I'm going to say it. I'm scared of Detroit and going to Detroit. I think there is a damn good chance that this series could end in Detroit, and we don't see the guards back home in Cleveland. I think that's wrong. If that happens, that is wrong. 162 games, you win your division. And C-Cat, I don't know how you can't have the same opinion as a Yankee fan.
Yeah, I have the same opinion, but not the same reasoning, because I hate bringing up my own team in the argument because I feel like it disqualifies me. So, Mike, you're doing me a disfavor right now.
Yeah, and again, and listen, Colin's right. It absolutely struck a nerve.
162 games versus 80-what games in the NBA. They should not have the same amount of postseason
games
in their series.
They should flop.
The NBA's postseason is too long. It's too long. That postseason starts in April. It's done in June.
Yeah, and people watch those games a bunch more than their regular season games for a reason, because those are the games that matter.
I'll defend.
And why is baseball great? Because every pitch matters. every game matters. What is the problem with the MLB regular season? Doesn't feel like every game matters. You guys are wanting to diminishing the impact
so
of each and every game.
Reward it.
But you guys are trying to diminish the impact of every... That's the part of the beauty of the five-game series. But every pitch matters. That's why the wild card is so interesting. Every pitch matters.
That's
a wild
saying...
card. The wild card should be like that. You didn't win your division, so you got to fight for your life to compete in the playoffs.
And so they expanded it in one more game or one more set of games in the divisional series up until the CS.
But I'm not just saying extend these divisional series to seven, because I think my change would be much more radical and much more accurate to crowning the best team in baseball. It's extending the World Series to an 11-game series.
Oh, no, CS God, no. All right, you're losing me. C-Ked, you're losing me now.
Yes. 162 games.
How many baseball games you watch in the regular season?
Probably half the
Yankee
games.
So you're telling me you watch 80 Yankee games?
Yeah.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that the casual fan who cannot sit through a game, they changed the pitch clock for it, is now going to sit through 11 games in the World Series.
If it goes to 11 games, yeah.
20, you want the series, you want it to end by Christmas?
Colin, all I'm saying is the wild card is fine. I think once you get to the divisional round, you can make them seven.
You probably can, but I like the gradual increase.
And if you can't, Colin, if you're quote-unquote the better team heading into the series and you can't win a best of seven, you don't belong.
You could argue the same with a best of five. Win at home. That's the theme of the show. Mets, Phillies, Mets up 1-0, bottom three at Citi Field right now. It's Russo and Rizzo. Take care of yourselves in the hurricane. Stock up if you need to. If you're a doomsdayer and you like to get the whole Costco menu, please do that if you have to. Stay safe during Hurricane Milton. We're not going to be in studio tomorrow and Thursday. Hopefully, we'll be back in Friday. It's been a fun one. That was Mike Rizzo, Christian Katt, Colin Russo, of course, as always. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. Stay safe, stay happy, stay healthy, stay focused. We'll see you next time.